Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Freedomizers and friends. This is Tiger Lily. Up next is my show, Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. And 90 minutes from now is Druanna Johnston's show, Illuminating Minds. You're going to want to stay tuned after my show because while Druanna and I are both truth seekers and truth tellers, I convey these truths in a way that is often uncomfortable. Druanna, however, will cheerfully and optimistically explain to you how to manage and empower yourself physically, psychologically, and spiritually to prevail through the shifts that are taking place right now in our surroundings. So sit back, relax, and begin to soak it in as I do my best to deprogram sheeples next on my show, Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar.
Think of the most horrific crime against the United States of America. It had nothing to do with gun ownership. It was somebody who used an airplane to massacre. The lady say, I'm free and I'm proud to be an American and I don't owe anybody anything. My cars are paid off. My house is paid off. I'd like to see just how free you are, lady, if you don't pay your taxes on the property that you own. How free are you really when you're in that cage? How free are you? How free are you despite the fact that you paid for your car? How free are you if you don't get it registered? How free are you if you get stopped because you rolled a stop sign? You get exposed for not having registered your car. Right to travel? I don't think so. Everything we have here in the United States of America, they're all privileges. We have the privilege to bear arms. Sometimes. But sometimes not. The government decides when we can exercise that privilege.
It's Feline Fury Time.
Welcome, Freedomizers and friends. This is Tiger Lily, your show host for the next hour and a half. Thank you very much for tuning in live. If you are tuning in live, it is the top of the hour, 6 p.m., 6.03 p.m. Pacific Time, and it is the 24th day of June. It is scorching in certain parts of the country and drowning in other parts. How weird is this weather? I just got a Facebook message from my friend. I'd like to call him my friend, Bill Scott, who said that his house is just maybe 12 miles away from some of that horrific burning that's going on in Colorado. So my good wishes go to all of them. And thank you very much for joining me. Welcome, Freedomizers, friends, and even foe. I have a lot of information to report, you guys. There is never a shortage of reporting when it comes to bad cops. And I'll tell you what, when you look at the media, mainstream media, or as Proof Negative likes to say, lamestream media, it's just, it's appalling, the stuff that they don't cover. They're absolutely puppets on strings, these reporters. And if one dares to get outside of the box, they get fired. I have seen a couple of reporters that used to be on MSNBC, and they've been, one of them for sure was canned, and he's on another network on cable called The Current, C-U-R-R-E-N-T, and he's got some pretty interesting stuff on there, and a whole network of people that are very left-leaning, but like everybody knows who knows me, whether you're on the left or on the right or on the center, it's a plantation nonetheless. So, but what I do like about these guys is that they do a much better job of reporting the tyranny. And as my friend Bill Buford, founder of ZeroGov.com, says that if it wasn't for police officers, politicians would not be able to take away our liberties. And that is absolutely the truth. And the other issue that I have is how we, the sheeple, have a different set of laws, a different set of rules that we follow. If it's the president of the United States all the way down to the lowliest little bureaucrat, it's a different set of rules. You will find that when cops make a mistake, they get a pass. Not only a pass, but they get time off. And it's absolutely disgusting. I do want to mention that One of my frequent listeners who goes by the name Bill, I'm sure his name is out of Arizona, he sent me some information, and off the air, he gave me this website, and he told me not to air the website. And so I'm going to respect that. But I think it's very, very eye-opening. Now, for those of you who know me, I'm somewhere between agnostic and atheist. I was raised Southern Baptist. But I recognize that the vast majority of people do worship some sort of a God, whether it's a higher power or what have you. And I think that that's important for people, for some people. And who am I to take that away from anybody? So as long as nobody is trying to force me to do something against my will in order to comply with somebody else's idea of what they think God wants to be done, then I'm okay with whatever your faith is. In my opinion, this is what we're in the mess that we are. It's gods and government, both figments of our imagination, as Stefan Molyneux would say. And Stefan Molyneux, in my opinion, is the Socrates or the Aristotle. He's a philosopher out of Canada. And he is, in my opinion, the philosopher of our time, of our contemporary time. He breaks it down, and basically his message is what my message is. As long as you're not initiating aggression against another human being, leave me the hell alone. As long as I don't steal your stuff or hurt you in any way, then I need to be left alone. And that's why I ride a motorcycle. Now that I'm 51 and my parents are dead and my children are grown and my husband's retired, it's just the most, it's such an expression of freedom that I can't even begin to explain it. But I do want to go back. I see Mr. Bill is listening, and I listened to all three audios, and that he pointed me. He pointed me in the direction, and I think that, you know, people come into our lives for a reason. Now, this person that I was listening to, his last name is Gutierrez, and he had something that I was listening to him in bed, because I listen, you know, to my audio stuff to go to sleep or when I wake up with my coffee or whatever. And I was drinking my coffee and listening to him, and I just sat up in bed and I ran upstairs and I said to my husband, "You've got to listen to this." And I hooked it up to the computer, and it was an absolute eye-opening moment for me. And who would have thought somebody like this Mr. Gutierrez would have done something like that for me? Because I was a little turned off at the beginning. Not a little, I was a lot turned off, because I'm not an in-your-face God person. Perhaps he was speaking, I know he was speaking in Hawaii, and it appears that he is out of Las Vegas. And so What he was talking about is he's got eight children, and the oldest one is 38. So I'm imagining this guy is close to 60 years old, but he doesn't sound like it. And he's got a funny way of telling stories and stuff. But he was talking about how his eight children are so well disciplined. I'm okay. Are so well disciplined that when he'd go to restaurants, people would compliment him, because they're like, "Oh my God, here comes a whole slew of kids." But people would actually compliment him on how well behaved his children are. And he talked about how he disciplined them. And the way he disciplined them is the way it says in the Bible to discipline them. And I absolutely 100% disagree with that kind of disciplining. When you are, whether it's spanking a child, I mean, how ridiculous is it to hit a child because they hit somebody else? Isn't that just ridiculous? I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not going to be self-righteous and say shame on you people who spank your kids and all of that, because I was raised Southern Baptist and I did my fair share of spanking my own kids. And if I had to do it all over again, I would not have initiated any aggression on my children. There has to be other ways to get through to children, to get them to not be violent, and to get them to, you know, think for themselves, be critical thinkers. When you raise a child, and you tell the child that you know that to worship God, and that this is how the earth was made, and yada yada yada, then they grow up already knowing, and that mentality is what's kept our entire species from evolving, really, when you think about it. If you already know that God created the earth and Adam and Eve and all of that, and Cain and Abel, and if you believe in all of that dogma, then and you force your children to believe it, then why even experiment? Why learn things? I mean, just think of when people used to think that the world was flat. It wasn't until, and this is one of the things that I picked up from what this guy was talking about. When Columbus came back, he came back with natives and with things, tangible things that to prove that in fact he did find the new world and that the world was round. But even at that, I can so believe that there must have been people who said, well, he just didn't go far enough. There must be a new world between where we live and where he found that other new world. But if you keep going past that, then you'll fall off. Isn't that just ridiculous? So I'm going to unmute Mr. B's line right now. And Mr. B, welcome to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I need you to call me later because I need to get your email so I can send some stuff to you, and I need some help with something, and you're one of the people that I know will help me with it.
Okay, no problem. I will do that. And just so that you know, Mr. Bill, I am going to be airing some of the bits and pieces of what that speaker was talking about, because it really was riveting. It really opened my eyes up. And so let's just start right now with this. It's a short 2 minute and 31 second clip. I think that's the longest one I've got. That's not the one. Sorry. Right. 1 minute. Here we go.
Okay. Now, how do we stop them? How do we control them? Because isn't it possible? No. Deceit. There it is.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a public. Well, you're right. In that sense, you're right. There is no such thing as a public servant. The people serving the public serve to protect the rights of the private. Well, we'll get them. We're going to get them. Okay, now all these people here, guess what? In order to function in this capacity here, guess what they all have to have? Two things, and we're going to break. Number one, according to Article 4... of the Bill of Rights, okay? Bill of Rights, they have to have an oath of office. They have to have an oath of office, okay? Depending upon what you serve in, what capacity, if you work.
He's talking about our hired killers, our self-inflicted hired killers, cops, and anybody who takes the oath to the Constitution. Now, with him being a very Judeo-Christian valued person, then you know it stands to reason that if anybody were to take an oath to the Constitution, that he is going to expect them to uphold that oath. But the sad reality is the people who want power tend to get so intoxicated with the power that they do evil things. And you can see this time and time and time again with the cops and the way they get away with it. And so let me go to this next one. He's talking about, and I had never really thought about this. He said, public servants are the people that we hire, you know, the cops, the mayors, the people that we elect. Are they public servants? No, they're servants to us, and we're private people. So it's kind of a play on words, so to speak, but I never really thought of it that way. Let's listen to this 24-second clip.
Is there such thing as a public servant? No. Deceit. There it is.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a public... Well, you're right. In that sense, you're right. There is no such thing as a public servant. The people serving the public serve to protect the rights of the private.
Serve to protect the rights of the private. We the private people. Or we the sleeping sheeple. Or we the zombies. We have to wake up. And then he goes on and talks about the oath of office. Let me click on that one real quick.
Okay. Now, all these people here, guess what? In order to function in this capacity here, guess what they all have to have? Two things, and we're going to break. Number one, according to Article 4 of the Bill of Rights, okay? Bill of Rights, they have to have an oath of office. They have to have an oath of office. Okay? Depending upon what you serve in, what capacity, if you work for the federal government in any capacity, you take the oath according to United States Code, Title 5, Chapter 33, Subsection 3331.
Oath of office. Very interesting, because he goes on, this would be something that my friend David Stillwell would probably be interested in, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him recently, but my friend, it's almost like he's like right there. He knows that there's just a little piece of the puzzle that's missing. He's a law-abiding person, and I'm beyond being law-abiding. The way this guy describes laws, he says that, and I agree with this, because he talks about how we are sovereign people. Our bodies are sovereign. We have the right to defend ourselves from being victimized, from harm, being killed, maimed, caged, whatever. We have, and he called it a God-given right. Whether you call it God-given or you're atheist and don't believe in a God, I definitely believe that we as human sovereigns have the right to defend ourselves. But then he says, so what happens if you're, you know, in an island by yourself and now you've got, and there's another person that shows up. Do you, now he talks about how you have the right to defend yourself, but you have the obligation to defend your fellow man. And I absolutely agree with that, which is why I advocate. Anytime you see a cop pulling somebody over, and I think he even mentioned this on the show, anytime you see a cop pulling somebody over, if the masses would get out with their recorders, my goodness, that would make the cops think twice. These cops who have pulled me over because they don't like my choice of headgear in Nevada, where it's a mandatory helmet state, why are these cops are not abiding by the Constitution. They are following unconstitutional laws. I don't care if it went all the way to the Supreme Court. If I'm not hurting somebody, these cops are absolutely being agents of terror, agents to the tyranny. It's absolutely uncalled for. So did I go to the part where it says, so help me God, honey? Okay.
And according to United States Code Title 5, Chapter 33, Subsection 3331, an individual except the president, elected or appointed to an office of honor or profit in the civil service or uniformed services, shall take the following oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God.
Well, all of these cops don't give a flip about their honor. Very, very few of them. I had one one cop who pulled me and said, hey, it's a helmet today, it's throw me in the oven tomorrow. And he thought that was quite a stretch. But this was one, probably the most constitutional cop I've ever seen. In fact, he even said, well, what would help your cause? To give you a helmet ticket or not to give you a helmet ticket? He was ready to get rid of it. So I says, just give me the helmet ticket. Would you believe he got into so much trouble over that, that it's just outrageous. So if you wanting to be an oath keeper, you are in the minority. I don't care if you're in the military or if you're a cop. If you want to keep your oath to the Constitution, you are going to be in the minority and you are going to be shut down. So the other thing was very, really, really resonated to me. I know my friend David Stilwell has constantly said, I have a right to travel. I have a right to travel. I have a right to travel. Well, you know, get this. Everybody says, you know, not everybody, but the vast majority of people are under this impression that we do not have the right to travel. What we have is, hey, you guys, there's this radio show going on here. What we have is the privilege to drive a car. Okay, some people will agree. Yeah, you've got a right to walk or take a bicycle or this or that. Well, even there's some states now who are even requiring helmets on bicyclists. That's ridiculous. So as far as right to travel, the founding fathers didn't intend for these so-called rights to be privileges. So when you go to, and I remember this for as long as I could remember, maybe I was years old getting my permit, my driver's permit, I remember one of the first things I saw is driving is not a right, it's a privilege. So what this speaker was saying is that when you sign for your driver's license, you're basically giving up your right to travel. And you have entered into a contract with the state to travel on their terms. So it's interesting because he shares a story about how he let his driver's license expire and how he dealt with the cop who pulled him over. So let me see if I could get to that part. Help me, God. Here's the...
They took an oath. If you take an oath, what does that mean if you break that oath? Is there penalties? Oh, yes, there is. Title 18, United States Code. They committed crimes. You violate that oath, you take this oath in the public to get the private trust. You take this oath so we can trust you to function in this capacity, and you aren't going to try and overthrow what we've created to protect us.
I think we're kindred spirits in the sense, that speaker and I, because one of the things he said that just flabbergasted me, that I had told my friends in Las Vegas. Every week, there's a group of activists that get together to see how we can swat the flies being the establishment, to get rid of the helmet requirement for motorcycles. I was sitting there on my motorcycle getting to the steering committee and, you know, wearing whatever headgear I felt like wearing. And what I ended up noticing is when I stopped my motorcycle, and this was good weather, I think it was May or April, I had to wait like 3 minutes for this light to turn green so that I could go. And I told myself, you know what, I don't even obey cops with badges and guns. Why the hell should I obey a light? There's nobody around here. And when it turns really hot, like it's probably over 100 degrees right now in Las Vegas, because I'm broadcasting out of Polygamyville, Utah, where elevation is a mile high, so it's more comfortable here. But how, if you know, you turn around, you look around, the intent for these signs and the lights and everything is to give guidance, in my opinion. It's not It was never intended, or should not be intended, to rip us off, to pull us over so that we can pay some stupid-ass fine. That's just retarded. So here's 35 seconds of him talking about the right to travel.
Now, are they doing that? Are they breaking their oath? Okay, it says in the crimes, that's felony perjury, treason, and sedition. In the back part of Title 18, it gives the penalties for the crimes. You, Mr. Officer, you're impeding my ability to travel. You're violating my rights. Article 1 of my Bill of Rights, Article 4, Article 5, Article 7, and Article 9. You, sir, have perjured your oath. I'm going to have you locked up. I will call the sheriff or the U.S. Marshals.
Well, I can't wait to meet this guy because I'm going to find this cat. Because you call the sheriff, please. When I was unlaughfully in Laughlin, I called 911 and I was told, nothing I can do, lady. So I've got 2 years from the time that that happened to file a suit, a lawsuit against all of these. And one of the things that Mr. Bill said is that, Bill from Arizona, is that when you have more than one people, then it's called conspiracy. So what they did to me in Laughlin at a parking lot was absolutely unlawful. So I did an informal a formal complaint, internal affairs complaint, and I provided them audio and pictures. And I got this nice little letter from a detective who said, we looked into everything and there was nothing that they did wrong. So keeping me from moving, if I had a gun and I told somebody, you have to stay here, don't move, you know, I was a felony. I would be in jail. What the hell? So here he talks about I think my friend Dave is gonna like him if he hears him say this.
So I was watching the show Cops on TV. You guys seen it? I hate that show. I hate that show. I said, let him try that on me. Because what would happen? I said, let him try that on me. I mean, I was so mad after 3 minutes, I said, I can't stand this. I didn't know why. But I went on YouTube and typed in, cops getting beat up.
Cops getting beat up. I couldn't remember what he said that he typed. I typed something similar to that. And I'm at the bottom of the hour, so I have to go to commercial break. But please don't go away because I have a lot of more juicy information. I have a few more clips on that. And I wanted to just give you a narrative of all of the bad police misconduct throughout the country. This is a tragedy, and it is tyranny. It is in our borders. We are not the home of the brave, home of the land of the free and the brave anymore. We are tyrannized, and if it wasn't for cops, these politicians couldn't take away our liberties. So, and as for these people wanting to get Mitt Romney in because he's the lesser of two evils, I totally disagree with that. Let's just get Obama in there. If Ron Paul isn't going to be a valid candidate, then what the hell? Let's just vote Obama in. The sooner we don't vote is what my husband says, and I'm not going to vote. But for those people who say, oh, you have to vote, well, vote for Obama. Because the sooner he gets voted in, the sooner he's gonna ruin our country and to awaken the people that need to be awakened. Because we're all asleep. We're all, you know, those of us, you know, drawing our little unemployment and hooray, he's doing this for the unemployed, and he's doing that for the illegals, and he's, you know, he's just doing all kinds of stuff. And so and everybody's all like, oh, how dare he, he is doing, what is that called, where he exercised his authority of his executive authority so that he can protect his little crony, his little Chicago friend, Eric Holder. How dare he? Executive privilege. Well, That's happened. Every president does that. And I just haven't had time to research this, but I bet you every president who has done this executive privilege, they do it more so in their second term than in the first term. Because the one president that did it the fewest, I think, was George Bush the first. I think he only did the executive privilege just once in his whole term. I think it was 20-something times by Reagan, 6 times by George W., you know, and left, right, it doesn't matter. It's a plantation. So please don't go away. I got to go to commercial break, and I'll be back in 2.
In these troubling times, we should all be thinking about food security. That is why CJ and Tallulah started Patriot Pantry. Patriot Pantry offers a delicious assortment of gourmet meals and beverages. Just add water, heat, and eat. Made and grown in America, except for a few tropical fruits, all natural, GMO and irradiation-free, kosher, and a gluten-free selection. Most of the products have a 25-year shelf life and are packed for easy storage. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks in a wide variety of packaging to fit every need and budget. So get your food freedom today. Visit patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. That's patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. And find Patriot Pantry on Facebook and Twitter, too. Thank you from CJ and Tallulah.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com.
Thanks.
Catch you there.
And I'm back. You're listening to Tiger Lily on Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. This is Freedomizer Radio. I'm very pleased to be here, and thank you very much to all of you who are listening live. It's the bottom of the hour at 6:33 p.m. Pacific time on the 24th of June, 2012. And I've always got a whole crap load of information about bad cops, because, oh my goodness, they are all over the place. And I, you know, a lot of somebody called me an anarchist. Somebody, that prosecutor bro, remember, she called me an anarchist. And I'll tell you, if being an anarchist is wanting liberty, then just call me an anarchist. I don't care. But she told the judge to find me guilty for obstructions, to send a message to people that when a cop gives an order, they must obey. So she's an African-American prosecutor, and I replied in my closing statement, well, it's a good thing Rosa Parks didn't obey the lawful order of her day. And I implore your honor, to find me not guilty, to send a message to those cops over there that they are not above the law and that they work for us, not the other way around. So, of course, he found me guilty, but it was a top secret court of non-record, and for $12, I appealed and got found not guilty. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, and the African-American prosecutor, she said that she objected to me saying that because she said she was a direct descendant of Rosa Parks. And she must have just been a sister, because Rosa Parks didn't have any descendants. She died a wanton woman, as far as I saw from a barren woman. Thank goodness. My husband says she may have been wanton as well. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I was talking about this guy that Mr. B, Bill from Arizona, was giving me gave me some information and a website that he told me to keep to myself, and I don't really know why, and he hasn't told me yet, but I'll talk to him off the record and find out exactly why I can't share this, because this guy that speaks, I think he would really, his message would very much resonate with the vast majority of freedomizers, because I think that the vast majority of freedomizers tend to be of Judeo-Christian background. And a lot of people think that what we need to do is go back to the Constitution. And it is my opinion that going back to the Constitution is going to be impossible, impossible without some bloodshed. And there just has to be, we've got to be smarter. We have to be smarter. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we already found out that the world isn't flat. Why can't we get along? Why can't we all just get along? So let me transition into this. I went on ahead and I Googled myself because that guy said cops getting the crap kicked out of them. He Googled that because, you know, he was so sick of how badly cops treat people, you know, on that show Cops. He says, oh no, that would never happen. And he didn't really, in his heart, it just seemed wrong. And I'm the same way. I can't stand to watch those shows. I just saw one yesterday from Las Vegas, and it was this lady, oh, you've got two choices. I'm going to give you two choices, telling that lady that's in a detention center, you know, and it's like, you know, bitch, she's old enough to be my daughter. Don't tell me that I have choices. Unless I killed somebody or raped somebody or whatever, I have no business being detained, or that woman had no business being detained. I didn't get to see what she was doing. Maybe it was prostitution. Maybe she was jaywalking, for heaven's sakes, and had a ticket, an outstanding warrant for J ticket. For heaven's sakes, if this isn't tyranny, I don't know what is. So as I was Googling, I saw this on, it's www.criminalcops.net, and I'm going to look this guy up because he wrote a book, and I don't have that link with me right now, but this short paragraph caught my eye. He said, since the establishment in 1844 of the first police department in New York City, misconduct and corruption has been a problem. However, the police have been solely responsible for policing themselves and purging rogue police officers from the police department. This self-policing system, filled with partiality, secrecy, and conflict of interest, has not only failed to retard corruption, but has resulted in an unprecedented spike in police misconduct. Rogue police officers and supervisors continue to protect illegal drug, gambling, prostitution, and theft rings. Rogue cops also operate illegal enterprises. Police corruption is now a multi-billion dollar industry. It cannot be the present system that allows the police to police themselves. Until police misconduct is stopped, criminals not only victimize citizens, but citizens will also be victimized by police who have taken an oath to protect them. Oath my butt. They don't get it. These guys are drones, and these gals, they are drones. Drones. My friend David Stilwell, founder of Guerrilla Lawfare, He infiltrates a lot of these establishments. And one thing he found out was the training that all of the cops in the state of Nevada get. They get 8 hours of traffic training, cadets and whatever, you know, everybody gets at least 8 hours of training. In this training, there were PowerPoint presentations, and the very last slide left is typically the last thing, kind of like when you're in the car and you listen to the last song that's in your mind over and over and over. Well, the last slide said to these young, impressionable cadets in learning about traffic, quote, remember, the road is paved with idiots. That's our tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. They are being indoctrinated to see us as less than humans. Didn't that happen like in World War II in Germany sometime? You know, where the Jews and the gypsies and the homosexuals and the handicapped people were not seen as full human beings. They were seen as subhuman, and therefore the tyrants felt it was their duty and obligation to rid themselves this ethnic cleansing. Wow. So moving on, the Seth Adams shooting. Golly, I don't have time for all of this stuff, but here's this one little story from Fox 45. And that's out of, I'd have to figure it out. A man who took out his cell phone to record an act that turned out to be a crime has ended up in jail. The next time you hit record in public in Baltimore, you might want to think twice. A fateful decision to do just that put a Pennsylvania business owner in jail for first-degree murder. It was a move that the website publisher, Jackson FYK, cost him dearly. Quote, I could not believe the ignorance of how they twisted this story into something I did, said Fike. His name is FYK. His ordeal started last February in a downtown parking garage, New Power Plant Live. Fike had been conducting an interview for his website with stunt bicyclists when they decided to leave to resume the talk elsewhere. They encountered another group of downtown revelers parked nearby. After a few heated exchanges, the fight with both sides exchanging blows ensued. Fike said he stopped recording and intervened when the brawl turned violent. Both parties went their separate ways. Shortly after posting his video on the scuffle online, police showed up at his home with a search warrant. Several weeks later, another warrant was issued for his arrest. Fike says he was charged with, quote, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder for taking a cell phone video, end quote. The charges against Fike have since been dropped. University of Baltimore law professor Byron Warnkin says it's technically not a crime to hit record, even if you catch someone breaking the law. Both the police department and the attorney general's office, have declined to comment on the issue. Go figure. The level of ignorance here is truly astounding. This isn't a new cop and a new prosecutor screwing up the appropriate charge in some off-the-wall misdemeanor case. One must presume the more experienced people are handling the murder and attempted murder cases, and yet Jason Fike finds himself facing the most severe cases on the law books. And do note how the system offered him a quote-unquote break if he pled guilty. A less sophisticated person might have caved in and accepted that nightmarish deal. Plea bargaining is a problem, folks. So for additional background, go here, 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 and here. And that's out of National Police Misconduct, policemisconduct.net. You can see all that stuff there. They capture all kinds of stuff, and it's very reliable information that they have. And it's such outrageous stuff that you just gotta walk. Doesn't mainstream media pick up on any of this? It's because it's cops. If it's somebody like Zimmerman, you know, he wasn't a cop, but I still believe that because his father was a, and because he was a wannabe cop and was taking classes on how to be a cop, that's why they delayed getting him really researched well. And not only that, you know, they recently showed the very first interview, the second interview on cops, and they videotaped how he recalled exactly what he recalled happened with the Trayvon Martin case. And I'm thinking to myself, as clown knows what to say, because he's been to school. He has schooled himself on, you know, what probable cause is and what will make for a stand your ground conviction, you know. So why should we trust him, for heaven's sakes? So there were, for June, for Thursday, June 21, there were 8 reports of police misconduct tracked. Here it goes. This is just a quick recap, just to give you guys an idea. A Philadelphia police officer was fired after he was arrested in federal court with 4 distributing heroin and 2 counts of firearm during a drug crime. Next, Reno, Nevada, editor Tim Dunn was roughed up by Nevada sheriff's deputies while he was taking photos of a fire. Dunn said the deputies accused him of trying to impersonate a firefighter because he was wearing yellow protective fire gear, a helmet, and goggles. But he noted that area fire personnel who conduct annual training for media are adamant about wearing such clothes while covering wildfires. Dunn's executive editor released a statement stating that, quote, the brutal nature in which Tim, a veteran photographer with more than 20 years of experience, was treated by sheriff's deputies is beyond comprehension. Their use of excessive force on a fellow professional who also has an important job to do is shocking. His rights were clearly violated. That was the second one. I got 6 more to go. But let me just pause to just say, these Nevada troopers, they're out of control, man. That was my awakening. It was a female Nevada trooper who totally was, she totally misbehaved and treated me like I was just crap over my choice of headgear. I was wearing a tiny helmet with a tiara, an obnoxious tiara on it, because I thought, oh, what's the worst that can happen? I'll get a helmet ticket and maybe some good-looking cop will frisk me up. Well, I got me a battle axe dyke from hell, and it was not fun because I'm that way, and if I did, it wouldn't be with somebody that mean. She's and ugly. I just recently, can't wait till I do a YouTube about her, because I got her on video now as she was, well, I won't digress. But there's 6 more to go on that. And before I do that, though, let me continue with this thing about TLGO. Hold on. Sorry, I can't multitask like these freedomizers do. They do such a good job. Okay, so I discussed about the right to travel. And here this guy was talking how he hates that cops show. Reminds me of my friend Dave, and he somebody was telling me that whenever he watches that cop show, he throws the pillows at his television because he's like, shut up, you guys. You have a right to remain silent. So this guy that I aired on the first half of the show, here's what he did when he got pulled over. Now, mind you, he let his driver's license expire. So check out what he said.
So here's what happened. We're going down into... Now, the way this road works, we're driving from Vegas to Reno to do this seminar, and it's like the road's going like this into Nevada, California, Nevada, California, Nevada, California. I had no idea what state I was in. And we're driving down there, and just so you know, I don't speed. I don't need to. But I, you know, it's dark. I've never been this place before. And all of a sudden, I go through this little town. I see it go 55, 45, 35, 25 through the little town. 25, 35, 45, 55. And I was like, cool. I'm good. They always have speed traps here in these little towns. So I mind my speed. I go through this little town. And I'm coming out, and it's dark. It's dark. You cannot see. There's no street lights in the mountains, right? And in the mountains, what are there? There's usually like, you're taking a turn, and on this side, there's nothing. This side, you can see the mountain. But over here, you don't know how far you're going to fall. So I drive safe. Going through there, and all of a sudden, this guy comes behind me, and I see these lights going on. Ooh, I said, he's trying to get by. So I move over and go on by, go on by. He's not going by. I was like, well, what the flip? I was like, okay, you're not going by. Then he hits me the sirens, right? Hits his crow. Rawr! I was like.
I had never heard it as the crow. But yeah, that's a very familiar sound. And I remember when I used to get so flustered. But nowadays, it's just part of my job, my self-imposed job. And it's a dangerous job, you guys. So let me have you listen to how he handles this detainment.
I don't have a driver's license. Guy comes up to my car. He says, "Excuse me." I go, "Yes. How are you this evening?" He goes, "You were speeding back there." I said, "Not likely, sir." I said, "I don't speed." He says, "Well, I clocked you at 65. You know what the speed limit was back there?" I said, "Well, it was 25, then it went 35, then 45, then 55, and I haven't seen anything since. So I'm assuming it's 55. I was going under 55 because we're in mountainous terrain doing this kind of thing." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to argue it with you." And, of course, I look at him, and she parrots what I said at the same time. We go, "Good." And he was like...
He's talking about his wife. His wife was in the car with him. And so I'm thinking, how is he going to get himself out of this one? Because his license has been expired for a whole year. And if you didn't catch the first half of my show, this guy, he's very interesting. I don't agree with his religious philosophies, but he had some very intriguing information to share about how the only reason driving is a privilege, and when we sign for our driver's license, we waive it to travel. So let's see how he handles this next detainment thing.
I don't have a driver's license. Guy comes up to my car. He says, "Excuse me."
Oops, did that one. Here's a bet.
"Sir, I need your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance." I said, "You know what I need? I need your oath of office. I need your badge number. I need your work, your sergeant on duty's name, and your bond number right now." He looked at me and goes, "What?" I said, "You heard me. I said, I need your oath of office right now, this second. I need your oath of office." He looked at me and goes, "Hold on a second." Goes back to his car. 3 minutes later, he comes back. He goes, "Mr. Gutierrez, can I have your driver's license?" I said, "Sure. It's expired because I no longer contract with the state to function as a driver. I'm freely traveling these United States by the means common of the man of the day, as my right is guaranteed by the Constitution. But here you go, since you asked." And I said, "By the way, I demand your oath of office."
And, you know, this is the first time after listening to this guy. I have heard of the sovereign movement and stuff, but this guy really broke it down to where I almost comprehend it. He talks about how the Constitution was formed and you had these Bill of Rights, but how this whole Constitution turned into a corporation. Our country has turned into a corporation. And so it's I can't explain it, but I need to do more reading on this because that really piqued my interest. So let's go on. I got a couple more.
Excuse me, Mr. Gutierrez, but this driver's license is expired. I said, "Yes, it is, because I no longer function as a driver, and I'm freely traveling through these United States as guaranteed by the Constitution, my right to freely travel without any encumbrance from the agent, agency, entity, officer, or..."
Right. So, let me see. And so then it's the wife.
He leaves and he comes back. And he comes back and this time, "Is this your wife?" And I go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, does she have a license?" She goes, "No." Now, I'm like, "Why don't you just be quiet and let me take care of this, man?" You know? And she's going, "Well, no, but I can give you the number." And I'm like, so she gives him the number, right? Now imagine if the police would allow this ever to happen. He goes back, calls it in, comes back, and she says, "Mrs. Gutierrez," and he says, "Is this your name, Loretta Gutierrez?" She goes, "Yes." She said, would you mind, it's only 9 miles to the Nevada border. Mr. Gutierrez, would you mind if she just drove to the border and then you can do whatever you want to do? And, you know, let's just call it a night." Sure. She didn't have her license on her. And he wants her to drive and mine's expired. What's the difference? Right?
I wish he had a, he needs to be carrying an audio recorder, because I would love to hear that firsthand. And when you do that, you can reflect and you can see what you could, you know, what you could do that's different. And this kind of reminds me of my friend David Stillwell. He got a helmet citation in the city of North Las Vegas, and he's got it on audio that he had with him a big old gazoo helmet that was strapped to the back of his motorcycle, and he had his controversial headgear. So he got a citation for his controversial headgear, and then he was asked by the cop to please put on the other helmet. And he resisted a tiny bit, and it's so hysterical to hear this cop say, "Pretty please." That's how they need to be treating us. No, I'll go even beyond. Just leave me the hell alone. Leave us the hell alone unless we're hurting anybody else. So let's see. That was about the last of the clips that I have from this guy. But I think he's located in Las Vegas. I'm definitely going to be looking him up and seeing if he will come on my show, on one of my shows. And going back to the 8 reports for naughty cops, I did the first and the second. The first one was out of Philadelphia, and the second one was out of Reno. And the third one, Dallas, Texas, deputy sheriff pulled over a motorcyclist who hadn't committed any crimes in order to confiscate the camera attached to his helmet. After being pulled over, the motorcyclist stated, quote, "I haven't committed any crimes, and you cannot take my personal property from me, sir," end quote, to which the officer replied simply, quote, "That's fine. Need to see your license and registration," end quote. I guess I need to put this on my Motorcycle Monday show, and I got to research that one, because each one of these, if you do a little Google searching on each one of these, you will find so much stuff about them and the corruption that runs so deeply. The next one, Carlsbad, California. A police officer was placed on administrative leave after he was arrested for stealing heroin from his police department's evidence room. Nice. Harrisburg, Illinois, police officer Joel Stanley was arrested for driving under the influence of drugs. The officer has been suspended and will be fired if the merit board votes to do so. Will be fired if. Oh, my gosh. The next one is out of Long Beach. Let me see. Where am I? A Long Beach, California police officer has been charged with 40 sex-related counts involving 13 underage girls and 3 young women. The 9-year police veteran is currently in jail on more than $1.2 million bail. Next, a North Minneapolis woman has filed a suit against the Minneapolis Police Department. The suit charges that enraged officers ransacked her house, breaking the windows, damaging furniture, ripping a large screen TV from the wall, and dumping a fish tank onto the floor, killing the children's pet fish and hermit crabs. Dang, sounds like a day at my house when my daddy used to drink. The officers also killed her 8-month-old dog after shooting it 10 times. Oh my goodness. Next. That was Minneapolis. The last one, Prince George's County, Maryland. Deputy sheriff raped an inmate while she was in a holding cell at the county courthouse. The deputy sheriff has been charged with second-degree rape and has been suspended without pay while the incident investigated. That is disgusting. And I wonder just why that inmate was in jail. Maybe she looked hot and she didn't want to give somebody a BJ in exchange for a ticket, a speeding ticket. That's what's going on. That's why it is crucial that we always never leave home without a video recorder or an audio recorder or just a camera. And if it doesn't work, just point your cell phone at them and just let them think that it's working. They don't need to know that it's, if it's working or not, for crying out loud. All righty. I'm at the top of the hour. I'm going to air this 2-minute report out of Atlanta, a botched raid, and I upload it. It's just 2 minutes and 19 seconds so that you can see what's going on in Atlanta. It's all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. Just open your eyeballs and wipe the sleep from your eyes and become edumacated.
A school teacher wakes up in the middle of the night to banging. Scared for his life, he thinks criminals are trying to break in. Turns out the man and woman at his door were deputies. But it's what happened next that has that homeowner asking tough questions tonight. CBS Atlanta's Mike Peluska joins us live at the Fulton County Sheriff's Office with some answers. Mike.
And Stephanie, a sheriff spokesperson said that the deputies actually did nothing wrong, but the man whose home they went into says they did everything wrong and he feels as though his rights were violated.
Must have been this way.
Edward Zigma says he woke up Thursday morning around 2:30 to this sound.
You know, something like that.
Startled in his sleep, Zigma thought burglars were trying to break in.
It's kind of scary. If I'm a criminal, yeah, I will probably expect to watch out for people to come and get me.
The two deputies, a man and a woman, had an arrest warrant for another man. A spokesperson with the sheriff's office says the person they were looking for gave them Zigma's address in court. In the 16 years Zigma has lived in the home, he says the name of the person that deputies gave has never lived there.
Even after I told them that I was calling the police, they keep telling me that the sheriff department trumps the police.
Zigma says hearing that made him really think they were posing as fake deputies.
I didn't believe it.
A short time later, he did let the deputies in. Zigma says he got even madder when they didn't know what the person they wanted to arrest even looked like.
It was apparent that she didn't know who the description of who she was looking for.
Zigma wants the sheriff's office to have the right information next time so someone doesn't get hurt.
I'm angry. Of course I'm angry. But I'm kind of more concerned that I don't want somebody, an innocent person, you know, to be killed or injured over, you know, some carelessness.
And again, the sheriff's office says that when they are serving these types of warrants, they are very dangerous and they have to be aggressive at times depending on what type of situation they are going into. They also said that they did follow all protocols. We're live in Atlanta at the Fulton County Sheriff's Office. Mike Peluska, CBS Atlanta News.
That's appalling. This little old man, he was a retired teacher. That should never have happened. And I was just thinking, and my husband's listening here, and I haven't mentioned this to him, but there was when we rented a place in Las Vegas, the previous tenant had a light grown up and got raided, I guess. But they never searched his house because he went outside of his house and he just turned himself in. So his were, you know, searched. So several months after we moved in, maybe three or four months after into that place, by the way, there were like little marijuana plants all over the place, like where he would, and my dog Emma, she was eating all of these plants and totally sunbathing in the back, just totally stoned out of her gourd. It was so funny. But about 3 or 4 months after we moved in, we got a knock at the door, and it was a cop, two of them. They came and they knocked at the door, and I told, you know, my husband got up, he was wearing his underwear, and I don't recall if we were, if open carrying, we had our weapons with us, and it was about midnight, between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know, my husband kind of looked out the peephole. He says, "It's the cop," and I says, "Get your gun," you know, and so he opens the door and we're looking for the previous tenant, and it occurred to me instantly that maybe they did that deliberately to catch him in the act or catch him or, you know, see what they could see or something. But when they realized my husband wasn't the previous owner, My husband says, why would you at this hour? And they said, oh, well, we're just here to let the previous owner know that he had called in stolen his van, and we found it. And I'm thinking to myself, the hell would they want to come at midnight to 1 o'clock? They supposedly have such dangerous jobs. Why submit themselves to that kind of danger? They don't know who's opening the door. And what occurred to me later on was, I bet you these cops were trying to see what they could find in the middle of the night, but it used to be a marijuana grower. And, you know, but the weird thing is that my son could see, because the house was kind of L-shaped, so my son peeked through the window to see who it was, and when he saw that it was two Las Vegas Metro Police cops, he had his AK-47 pointed at their heads. So if they would have done anything to my husband, you can bet your bippy my son would not have blinked to shoot them dead. So these, and you know what? I don't think there would have been a hell of a whole lot of sympathy for these asses, because they are murdering, executing people, raping people, and getting away with it. And it's not going to be long before there's going to be another Rodney King riot, and this is going to be a whole wave that's going to take over the whole nation. So I'm a commercial break, and when I come back, I'm going to read what an article that I saw about Rodney King, and we'll have a little bit of chime in. The number is 347-324-3704. And I promise I'm not that scary. I'll be very gentle to you.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you still under the illusion that we're living in a free country? Wake up. We're not. America's become a fascist police state, a total surveillance society where you are the sheep and they are the shepherd. Time to break free, open your mind, learn to resist enslavement. If you want the information and spiritual support to help you take back control of your life and fight for our liberty, tune into the Johnny Storm Show, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3:30 Central Time, right here on Freedom Icon Radio.
Hey, Freedomists, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi, Freedomizers and friends. Tiger Lily here, host for Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. Please join me for Motorcycle Mondays. We motorcyclists have special challenges related to our American totalitarian system. This gives me extra opportunities to expose corrupt cops, lawyers, judges, elected officials, and other parasitic bureaucrats. Please join me for Motorcycle Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
I just couldn't resist promoting my own show that I'm going to be on tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and it's my Motorcycle Monday show where I feature a lot of cycling stuff. And whether you're a motorcycle rider or not, the whole deculturing is very, very eye-opening when it comes to liberty and rights and freedom. And it's my opinion that riding a motorcycle is the most free way to commute, really. And I tell everybody, I hate it when people say, ride safe. I just want to smack them upside their heads and say, I don't ride to be free. If I wanted to ride safe, if I wanted to be safe, like an airplane, you know, or a car, it's a little safer than a motorcycle because you've only got two wheels. But it is so liberating and feels so wonderful to be on a motorcycle and just as free as a bird. And like my friend Terry Hardy, founder of World of Soul Motorcycle, Motorcycle Club or something, Motorcycle something with a C, MC, worldofsoulmc.com, he says, putting a helmet on you would be like putting a helmet on a bird. I'm like, amen, brother. That's for sure. So let me, from this misconduct.net, I think I want to, you know, maybe join forces with them because their stuff is really, really cool. And it's right in alignment with what I do, which is basically expose the tyranny. So they wrote a very nice article that I'm going to share with you guys. Rodney King, who was found dead this weekend in a swimming pool at his house, once said that he believed his beating by Los Angeles police officers back in 91 had, quote, made the world a better place by bringing attention to the problem of police abuse. Following the King incident and other scandals, LAPD entered a consent decree with the Justice Department that imposed major reforms, including more aggressive internal audits and officer training. But in the 20 years since King's beating, allegations of police misconduct have remained a serious problem in several cities nationwide. What impact, if any, did the King case have on the problem? Not enough, said Ezekiel Edwards, director of the Criminal Law Reform Project at the American Civil Liberties Union. Edwards said that better training has made the police more professional and that there are more opportunities for accountability with the proliferation of cell phone cameras. But, he said, quote, this is still a significant problem around the country. People that have to deal with excessive force are often the most disenfranchised, living in communities that don't have a lot of political power, he said. A lot of things happen in those communities that people aren't in. I'm going to pause for a moment there and just say amen to that. It's the homeless. It's the illegals. It's the poor. It's the crippled. It's the elderly. People don't realize how horrific these cops are. And they get a little dose of power, and it's like a shot of heroin to them. They get so intoxicated with this power that they will seize and pounce upon the lowest hanging fruit. And oftentimes, the lowest hanging fruit is the elderly, the homeless, the sick, the children, the illegals. Who are they going to go to? There's so much hate for illegals around the country. It's like, you don't have any rights. Go back to Mexico and see how many rights you have there. You know? So, and that, the fact that somebody is undocumented does not give the cops the authority to tase and beat and on and on and on. So I'll continue. The most recent data from the National Police Misconduct Reporting Project, which offers one of the only comprehensive accountings of misconduct allegations against the 18,000 some law enforcement agencies nationwide, showed a slight uptick in the number incidents of reported misconduct and a 6% increase in the number of reported incidents involving excessive force from 2009 to 2010, the most recent years for which data is available. Under the Obama administration, the Justice Department has taken on more active role in pursuing abuse allegations, which has brought some changes on state or city levels. Let me pause right there for a moment and just talk about how the Department of Justice ain't crap. Let me repeat that. Under the Obama administration, the Justice Department has taken on more active role in pursuing abuse allegations, which has brought some changes on state or city levels. Well, I'll tell you, in Las Vegas, where there are the most murders of innocent people by these men in costumes wearing badges and guns, when the Department of Justice is called in to look at that, what do you think happens? Not a damn thing. You know why? Because the sheriff is in bed with Homeland Security. He's one of them. I'll continue with this article. Last year, we noted that the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division had 17 ongoing investigations into law enforcement agencies to pursue allegations of excessive force or discrimination, more than at any time in the division's history. Those investigations are still open. The DOJ also has entered into a consent decree to require major reforms or a memorandum of understanding to address specific concerns with 7 departments: Los Angeles, Detroit, the Virgin Islands, Beacon, New York, Warren, Ohio, Easton, Penn, and the Orange County Sheriff's Office in California. In Seattle, a federal investigation found last December that the Seattle Police Department engaged in, quote, a pattern or an excessive use of force, and that about 20% of the cases, suspects' civil rights were violated. How about just the human rights people? I'm tired of this civil rights crap. We're humans. Humans should not be treated like animals. Hell, we treat our animals better than we treat people, for heaven's sakes, in many cases. Continuing, and I know somebody's trying to call me, and I see that call lit up, so as soon as I get that, I know which area code I'm looking for. I'll open up that mic, but I don't see that call yet. Chicago police said $45.5 million in damages in cases of police misconduct between January 2009 and November 2011, according to a recent investigation by the Chicago Order, with 75% of those cases being excessive force. Meanwhile, an independent commission set up to investigate allegations of 2 decades of police has lost its funding after following up on only 5 cases. The court filings detail repeated brutal abuse of suspects by police. This makes me sick, you guys. The Newark, New Jersey Police Department is currently under investigation by the DOJ for an alleged pattern of force and discrimination after LU documented 407 allegations of police shootings, sexual assaults, false arrests, and other abuses. And then there's the investigation into police misconduct in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, which we've been following since 2009 in our Law and Disorder Project. The DOJ has accused the department of a systemic violations of civil rights and is working to establish a consent decree with the department. One of the incidents that drew the attention of the Justice Department, the conviction of 5 officers in the shooting deaths and cover-up of 2 civilians on the Danziger Bridge. Did I say that right? Danziger Bridge? In September, Assistant Attorney General Thomas Perez, who heads the DOJ's Civil Rights Division, said the bridge shooting was the, quote, most high-profile incident since the beating of Rodney King. What's it going to take, ladies and gentlemen, to wake up? We live in a police state. We have more people in prison in the United States of America per capita than any other country on the planet, and that includes any communist nation that exists. I want to also share, I'm close to the end of my show here. I've got just a little bit over 10 minutes. I can't take Phil's call because I don't see it here, honey. I don't see. I only have these people. I don't see him. What I might have to do, Phil, if you're listening to me. Well, let me see. Let's see. Area code 92. Yeah, I don't have that one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to refresh, and I'll keep talking while I refresh my screen, and hopefully it'll appear. Because I know my friend Screwdriver is trying to get a word in edgewise. So I'm refreshing the screen, Phil, just for you. And while that's happening, I also wanted to mention, let me see, state reports on June 21. Rochester, New York, and federal agents raided the wrong home for a drug bust. The police released a statement saying, quote, upon encountering an elderly resident, the team realized they were at the wrong location and left the premises. So, okay, I got you now. Yay! Okay, I've unmuted your mic. Hi, Philip.
Okay. Hey, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Not bad. I just wanted to, I was telling these guys in the chat room a story from last Tuesday. I was coming up 5 to the 805, and I get in the carpool lane, and I'm whitelining. And this chick's on the phone, and she forces me all the way over to the other side of the lane. So I drop back and I wait because I know she's got the phone in her right hand and the window's down. She switches hands. I gun it a little bit. I grab the phone and I throw it in southbound traffic and I keep going. 2 days later, I get a call from the California Highway Patrol. Asked me if I was riding a black Harley. I said yes. Was I wearing a full face with a dark shield? I said yes. She said, can you tell me what happened? I said, yeah, that bitch tried to kill me 3 times. So when I seen my window of opportunity, I grabbed the phone and I threw it in southbound traffic. And he started laughing. And he said, well, I'm a chippy. I ride on a bike. I said, oh, okay. So you know what I'm talking about when you're on the phone. He said, yeah, what color was your bike again? I said, was it red? And I said, yeah, it was red. He said, oh, I think I got the wrong guy. And he hung up and I never heard another word.
Well, chalk one up for the good guys. Oh, my gosh. But isn't that annoying when they're just not paying attention? And how's that text messaging law working out?
Not good.
Nobody's paying attention.
No, it's like this. If they got the phone in their right hand, they're going to come right. If they got it in their left hand, they're going to go left. If they're texting, they tap the brakes because they're not used to the distance because they're looking down in their lap to text, so nobody will see them texting. But when you see their head bouncing back and forth, you know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and that's the unintended consequences. Somebody tried to do a report about that now that there's texting laws in some of these states, that people are doing it so are trying to hide the fact that they're texting, so they're mm-hmm. even more dangerous as drivers.
Yeah.
So,
I pull up next to cops talking on the phone. I pull up next to cops talking on the phone, and I go like that, and I shake my head, and they just chuckle. Because I guess the badge gives them the authority to do that. But they'll give you a ticket for $159.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, golly. Well, you'll have to call in tomorrow's My Motorcycle Monday show and share that story with my motorcyclists because I think that's
sure.
a cool story.
What time is that?
5 p.m. Pacific time. Just from 5 to 6.
Okay.
That's my prime time hour if you happen to be free.
But, sure.
The one thing that reminds me of is my brother, who he did some time with OJ. He's not in the same place now, but he's in a halfway house now.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was out free, I was visiting my girlfriend in Chicago, and he always used to drive a black Cadillac, and he was going like 100 miles an hour. And he had been drinking, but he had a control. And so this lady got on the median and made him roll his window down. And she said to him, you drive like an animal. I've got your license plate number. And then he scared the crap out of me, my brother. He says, where's my gun? Where's my effing gun when I need it? I'm like, oh, my God, I have a nursing license I could lose, you know. It's like he's like, you know, I thought she had something nice to say because he was a good-looking guy and he always had women flirting with him. But, yeah, he was driving like an animal, but he had all of his faculties. You know, he was going 100 miles an hour, but he was, you know, he did it in a way that didn't make me scared. I wasn't afraid. But but evidently this person didn't appreciate it. So it's just a good thing he wasn't holding a cell phone because that broad would have reached in and hit him with it.
Yeah, I got some shirts coming that say honk if you've never seen anybody shoot a gun from a motorcycle.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, because I've just got just 3 minutes left. Thanks for calling, Philip, to share that story.
No worries.
Tomorrow.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Let's see, Soap Lake Crisis, I think. Oh, what I wanted to say is there is such a double standard when it comes to how we the sheeple, we the taxpayers get treated when we make a mistake versus when the cops make a mistake. Like Screwdriver just said, he said that he, you know, when the cop is on the cell phone, we don't know that he's on official business. He's probably talking to his girlfriend or his old lady's telling him to pick up a head of lettuce or something, you know, so we don't know. But there's a whole different standard, and they get away with murder. And it's from the very bottom of the lowest bureaucrat to the very top. And I'll just air this because I'd like
to. It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
That was Clinton, President Clinton, when he got caught red-handed with the DNA, and he had lied to everybody about, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Yeah. Well, he wasn't really lying. It just depends on what the meaning of the word is. And just to keep it fair and balanced,
and I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Yeah, well, you're in the grave now. Good riddance to you and good riddance to all the other ones who want to take away my freedoms and those of my families. So, sorry, I don't speak well of the dead if I don't like them. And I know some people have issues with cookies. I also wanted to, let me see, I had this, the Clinton and the Nixon, and, all right, let me just say about this thing with Eric Holder and the president doing his executive privilege and all of that crap. Well, what burns me up about this is that over and over and over, it's these Republicans who constantly say that the family of this murdered Border Patrol agent needs justice. I'm sorry. That's why they got that's what he signed up for. He signed that it was not supposed to be a safe job. If it was a safe job, he should, you know, be doing something else. But over and over and over, they're using a Border Patrol agent, and we don't even know anything about this Border Patrol agent. I wonder how many people he executed. At least one of the Republican guys that was all party lines, at least one of those Republicans, he had the good grace to say that the reason we need to find out what Eric Holder knew is because of these weapons that fell into the wrong hands, which killed so many Mexicans and a Border Patrol agent. How many Mexicans were killed on their turf because of this fiasco? Oh, my gosh, I'm over my time. I'm so sorry. I'm going to hang up. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Tiger Lily, and You've been listening to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar, and please listen to my show tomorrow. It's going to be Motorcycle Mondays, where I don't ride to be safe, I ride to be free. And I am going to hang up to make way for Druanna's substitute, and she's the host of Illuminating Minds, and I apologize for going over. Have a great one, everybody. See ya on the chat.
Hi, everybody. This is Elena, and welcome to the radio show of Illuminating Minds. Of course, I'm taking over for Druanna. I'm not exactly sure when she's going to be back. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if tonight's my actual last night or not. But I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that I'll be on for another week or two, maybe. I don't know. It depends on how much longer she needs, you know, help to get stuff straightened out with her moving and getting everything in line. I wanted to welcome everybody tonight to the show. And I'm not quite sure tonight if I'm going to actually have a guest on tonight. She may decide to come on next week. But her name is Chris Stein of the Women of Wisdom organization, which is called WOW. And she's absolutely wonderful. She actually got the organization started a while back ago and has just been doing some wonderful things for women in the Seattle area. And once a year in February, I believe it's once a year, they have a huge shindig where they have artists and speakers. It's just supposed to be so much fun. I've never gone to it, but I'm hoping to go this coming February. So hopefully we can welcome her onto the show soon. She may not make it tonight, though, but that's okay. We're just going to keep going. And you guys, there has been some really interesting developments. And first I want to tell everybody, who is Elena? What is Elena about? My name is Elena Skywing. I'm a shaman and shaman numerologist, and a lot of people wonder what that is all about, and if I'm going to tell people what it's all about, it's somewhat like numerology, but it's totally different. And what happened to me was I had a massive spiritual download of how to totally decode words in a totally different way than regular numerologists. And you know, it's really funny because when I was a kid, I was absolutely terrible at math, and I'm still terrible at math. That's what makes it so hilarious, and I'm sure it's the way of the universe giving me a cosmic joke that I'm so good at decoding words and numbers, but yet never really had, you know, a lot of help with my math when I was young. And in fact, you know, if I could write a book about it, people would probably start laughing because it was like at every corner that I turned when I was a kid, I could never get any help with my math. My parents never helped me. In fact, they went out of their way to make sure I never got helped. And I know that sounds strange, but that's one of the huge issues that I've always had with my parents is they never helped me with any of my homework, never. And they knew I was having trouble in school. They still did not help me. And then, of course, you've got the teachers that were absolutely terrible. None of them would help me. I remember one time I'd gotten into this new class. I think it was in junior high, but I'm not sure. But literally, the math teacher was sitting at his desk reading a book the whole time. And if you went up there trying to ask him questions, he looked like he was going to start yelling at you. Not even kidding you. So the whole math class for the whole time that I was there, I literally could not do any of my work because I was so afraid to walk up to this guy. I mean, this guy was a real ass. I'm not even kidding you. He was absolutely terrible. So I don't know if I can say that word on air, but it just kind of reads like a comedy. I'm not kidding you. When I think back to me being a kid trying to look everywhere for help and nobody would give it to me, including my parents, and I literally, you know, they literally skated me through school, and, you know, it didn't matter if I got D's or E's or F's, they still skated me through. And then when I was 17, I took a GED and just went that route. But I think it's really hilarious that, I think really it, like I said, it's like a cosmic joke that Elena it was and is terrible at math in the conventional way of thinking. But in the unconventional, out-of-the-box way of thinking, I am phenomenal, okay, at what I do. And so, which I think really makes what I do makes it even stronger, because I think a part of me always felt that because I was so terrible at math, there's such a huge part of me that wants to excel so much in numbers that I think that really fed into my whole gift of being able to crack and open decode words. Not just in the word, actual word vibrations, you guys, but the actual numbers associated with it as well. So anyway, I very much I am an adult, you guys, but really I'm a kid. I'm definitely a kid at heart. If you were to talk to any of my friends, anybody, even my husband, he would say I'm definitely a kid at heart. I feel like I carry like the weight of the world with responsibility on my shoulders and in my heart, but at the core of my essence, I'm totally all kid and totally think out of the box with everything. So let's see. It looks like we have a caller tonight. So let's see who's holding, and let's give them some time on the air. Hold on. Hi, did you call into the show?
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, and can I just check the sound with you? Because recently I found out that because of the devices that I have, you can't really hear me well. So
okay.
I'm hearing this clearly. You can hear everything I'm saying?
Yes, so far I can, sure.
Okay, great. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good, really great.
Good. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to chime in on this school thing.
Okay.
On that experience. And I wanted to say that it wasn't just that, because I saw that, you know, that was true for, they just passed everyone on through. And yet,
oh, yeah.
There was actual abuse in addition. Like, not only was there not help available for those who did it, like that, you know, my personality was such, because of the environment that I was in at home, I, like, right away went like, oh, man, these kids need to be taken care of. And when I look back, I was only 7 myself. You know, like, I was about 3 when I realized, like, hey, nobody has the ball here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Didn't that make you feel terrible? I know it made me feel terrible.
Well, I didn't have time to feel. That was I mean, I was feeling, but, you know, that certainly, that was not in the picture for them, you know, like the adults. And these guys were, if you think about it, they had everything. They had the food, the shelter, the support, you know, they controlled what you played with, the toys.
Yep, exactly.
What time you went to bed, what time you woke up.
Yep.
You know, who you played with.
Mm-hmm.
Who you liked. What you liked. That's who was around me. Now, it's pretty, we're talking Catholic school. And,
okay.
And, you know, Catholic parents.
Right.
And Catholic grandparents and Catholic, and probably some Jewish mixed in there and some, you know, African American. We don't even know. But I'm saying that in addition, there was abuse. Real abuse, which means that, you know, I'm just learning. I've been studying this a long time, and I'm just really getting that. What abuse means is that, you know, most, we're talking 99.9% of people who abuse children, and I'm not talking the big horrible stuff, because that's the stuff that takes the eye off where it's really going on.
Right.
What's really going on is those of you who don't want to go to therapy.
Right.
The part of you that wants to, but anyway, they get pleasure from it. It's not that they just get away from it. That personality that does that to a child gets pleasure out of it. It's really, really serious. I've been talking about this on the radio for a year, but I've been talking about it most of my life. I've been aware of this really since I was three. There were actual incidents that I remember. It's as though I was incarnated to do what I'm doing. It's just
right.
I remember by the time I was three, there were enough incidents. I remember even saying to myself, I'm going to remember all of this because I heard the adults say, oh, she's not going to remember this. And I was
right.
And I said, oh, yes, I will. I'm going to do that from now on. I remember looking, and I did. And so there were events that led me to knowing. I remember where I was standing when it happened at the event, and I said, oh, I better keep my eye on the ball here. It couldn't have been more than three, really.
Totally. Yeah.
So they were abusing. They were, in addition, so I'm not talking about, I'm not saying these things to talk about me per se.
Uh-huh.
I'm just talking about, you know, that what if there were a real intelligence there? What if children are intelligent? I think that there aren't more people who are able to say this because of the abuse.
Right.
Either because they're shamed of what they do well, or because they're so traumatized by what happened that they're in criminal justice systems. And that's another word for a drug addict, which, they've got that way. It's another form of abuse that's going on.
Right.
Or mentally ill, which is another form of abuse that's going on.
Right.
Way out of hand. And here's what I'm seeing is, actually in terms of this thing that this child protection law that was overturned in 1984, are you familiar with that?
Not really. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, what happened was that actually there were no laws at all on the books until 1963, I believe it is, that protected children in any way, meaning like a stranger could beat up a child until 1963. And actually that came about because of it's called the Mary Ellen story, and it has to do with the fact that there were laws on the books that protected the cows.
Okay.
And there weren't. So anyway, I think they just used that as a sort of saying, maybe we don't need that anymore. I haven't found it to work when I tell the story, to tell the truth, so I think I'm going to lose it. But they passed some laws. And with that came straggling in this concept of like, hey, if it's a mother child, when we're talking personal injury and statute of limitations, with what was happening in psychology, once it moved away from Freud, because remember, Freud blames the child for everything.
Right.
But Freud comes from Nazi Germany. Okay, so let's leave that to the side, another discussion, because we always have people who argue this. Great, got it. Sell it somewhere else. And it's my time to talk, I guess. Thank you for giving it to me, really.
Sure.
And psychology was at that same time, 1963, some of the stigma was gone maybe away from it. Like I said, it was moving away from Freud. And they were saying, hey, this mother-child bond is really serious. Like, it never changes. So if we're talking statute of limitations, and they're saying, since the psychologists are starting to say, these are lifelong effects. Hey, you got to stop doing it. This is lifelong effects. And then they're bringing them in the courts. Well, long around about 1984, it got overturned.
Oh, okay.
So here's what I'm saying. That's a whole other topic, but I want to get to the point. What I was thinking recently is this. See, the guys who are in Congress and Senate and all that, they're sort of like, they've studied one thing, like political science at best, maybe law, right? Yeah, but generally that's about it, or they were, popular in some other way, maybe through business or whatever. But when that law was overturned, still the psychologists agree, and they're arguing on one hand for other things, that yes, that the effects of that are lifelong, and actually it keeps coming out, both prosecution and defense at that federal level agree on that, and yet there's now a statute of limitations. Well, I'm saying this. How about like in 1984 when they overturned it, right? That those guys, they didn't know enough about it. How could they have? How could they have? How did they prove that? And you see, what was true was, all along, that information was available. It's not like, oh, it was only available now. It was available, which means that they didn't take use of the information that was relevant. That's what we go in there and say. You know, hey, wait a minute, no. You know, they're going to expect all that drama. But it's not about that. It's about, hey, maybe you weren't bad. And actually, this could be true. Because we all know this. Perhaps there was something else on that bill that wasn't. And let's go a different way with it. This is where I went. Instead of getting into the argument about, you know, oh, they think this is important because, more important because da-da-da-da-da, how about this? How about people feel uncomfortable really getting into what they don't know about? And they didn't know anything about psychology, so they felt more comfortable talking about
right.
and standing for it. Let's say that instead of calling, maybe they're bad guys, but let's just forget about that for now and look at this logically, without emotion. I think logic is a term, great peacemaker, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we say that. That's all we say. We say that. Uh-uh. You just didn't have enough information. And the information is that it never changes. It just doesn't.
Right.
And so all people will now be able to come forward and say this instead of clogging up the system in the criminal justice system, you know, with people as, you know, killing each other for drugs because they're so expensive or, you know, whatever, related. Now we're getting more and more of that. That's another distraction. They're getting off there. Oh, it's just drug and natural. What's the underlying cause here? We all know. Mm-hmm. We've all been forced to watch Oprah, you know? So, I'm sorry. I just had to go. Sorry, Oprah. Okay, so there you go. On the other hand, is mental illness. Sorry, do you know that in the new DSM-5, which is the book that they use for the diagnostic official diagnoses criteria, except they're not psychologists or psychiatrists anymore. They don't have to be. They keep lowering their requirements. Anyway, in there now, under manic, depressive, and bipolar, they actually have this sentence. It says, someone may have bipolar without any symptoms. They've added so many additional over the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So many additional symptoms of bipolar, okay? It isn't funny. And then this time, they've added that one. You don't even have to have the symptoms. Okay? I mean, it was stupid. So I'm saying, it's like if only we could just concentrate on that. I mean, that is a piece of logic that's, you know, maybe it's not the foundation of an argument, you know, but it certainly would be a good, you know, supporter there, you know, like, and so I'm saying that's what's available. And so therefore the people who are abusers, we could just do it for like sort of maybe this would work because prosecute them. I have a thing called the orange jumpsuit. We put them in the orange jumpsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Because this personality, actually, this is true. It's weird how it works out. They're not being punished. They're not being punished, I propose. This is what they like. This is what they say they like. This is why they hit and punish. They like things on time, crisp, clean, neatly ironed, no wrinkles, no mistakes. That's what children get, right? They're told they're bad. And they grow up believing they're bad. We know this in psychology. They've said it millions of ways. That I'm saying, it's like there's got to be a judge in there who was so sick of the courts being called up to respect and just hearing the truth for once. There's got to be just one. Or maybe it'll be one morning when he or she just can't stand it. And they're just going to go boom and jump. But that one case like that will set a precedent, you see.
Right.
I wanted to thank you
so much for calling, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about the bipolar section. So hold on for just a second, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really glad that our caller talked about the bipolar issue, because I have personally been diagnosed. Or was diagnosed with having bipolar when I was approximately 30 years old. I'm 51 now. And You know, like I said, a lot of my listeners know that I am totally out of the box in my ways of thinking, and I'm going to definitely go out on the limb here, and I'm going to say that, you know, number one, when I was diagnosed with having, bipolar when I was around 30, 31, and what's really funny is I started talking to a lot of other people that were diagnosed with having bipolar, and when I told them that I never had the depressive part, all I had was the mania. I mean, I'd had mania off and on for years. Then they told me, well, you're not bipolar, you're unipolar. That's totally different. And then when I started really researching shamanism, I found out that a lot of shamans have issues with stuff when they do not take on the responsibility of the energy of actually being a shaman. And as soon as they take on the responsibility of being a shaman, to fill the role of being a shaman, a lot of those issues go away. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I guess if I could lend out some information tonight to maybe some people that are listening, is that just because they talk a lot about bipolar and a lot of supposedly mental health issues, you know, you guys, it could be that the structure on Earth cannot widely encompass certain people's maybe, energy that they came in on. And because the society that we're in tends to, like, block the type of energy that we came in on as far as being like a shaman, there's no existing structure that welcomes that type of energy into it. And I believe, you know, what happens is because I've been through the ringer. I've been on medication off and on my whole life. And for the past 4 to 5 years, I actually healed myself from bipolar, from totally changing what I eat to, like, living food, like anywhere from, I would say, 51% to 70, sometimes 80% living food. I still have issues with food, you guys, but I'm, like, way better. But when I did that and I totally moved from a, you know, the type of diet where I'm just eating whatever to, like, a lot more living food, I never had any more problems with my mania at all. And I was off, you know, I was pretty much on, you know, on and off medication, you guys, for years. And, you know, maybe if I was to count how many times I had mania, I would probably say anywhere from, you know, maybe 30 to 50 times, approximately, maybe 25 to 30, I don't know, but approximately around there. So you guys, it could be that the pre-existing structure that's in place right now cannot hold the true energies of what we really came in on. And because it cannot hold that, it diagnoses you, you know, as being bipolar or whatever type of problem you have, because the pre-existing structure is not there for you to put your energy into. And I might add back hundreds of years ago, when you were a shaman, you were welcomed into your own tribe, and, you know, their energy was welcomed, you know. And so there was a safe place to put this person's energy, and people welcomed a totally different outlook and, you know, on what life really is. And these people were not deemed as being crazy. They were deemed as being shamans. So, you know, and I'm just talking from somebody who's had issues with mania, you know, off and on for a few years. And like I said, for the past 5 years, I haven't had not one mania at all, not one. And that was, like I said, directly after I decided to assume the responsibility of being a shaman, you know, agreeing to put my energy out onto the earth and to help people. As soon as I did that and also changed my eating, then I didn't ever have any more problems with that. So right now what we're going to also do is we are going to move from that whole discussion. And I wanted to thank the caller for calling. Thank you so much. But right now we're going to also move on to a huge story, you guys. It's absolutely gigantic. And I've really been talking a lot about this theory that what I believe everything really is in a nutshell on Earth, and I mean everything. I have a YouTube channel called Liquid Butterfly, LiquidButterfly, and I'm off, you know, on YouTube, and it's actually also my business name as well, www.liquidbutterfly.com. But let's see. This is a huge theory that I started working with a few years ago and put out a few, YouTubes about it. And my theory is that what I believe all this is, what everything is, okay? And like I said, you know, it's just my perception. It's a theory. And so, but what I believe all this could be and what it is, to the best of my ability, okay, I believe what it is a holographic biological computer program that was made on love, okay? And I believe the ruling elite that are in place right now, whoever they may be, because, you know, I believe that there are people in the shadows that we don't even know at all, that someone hacked in and changed the source code from love to trying to get everything to turn into hell on Earth, okay? And what they try to do is make it so it would turn into Armageddon. And so something really huge happened the other day, and I wanted to tell everybody about it. It's actually quite interesting. There is a person called Danny Wilton, W-I-L-T-E-N, and he's on Facebook. And if anybody really likes the information that I'm giving them, which I can't see why you wouldn't like it, because it's totally out of the box, I suggest you go to Facebook, friend him, and subscribe to his page, because what he's coming out with, you guys, is so flipping huge, and it's actually going right in line with my theory about it, everything being a holographic biological computer program. And I believe that the Vatican has been sitting on a treasure trove of information, and it goes beyond treasure trove, okay, about who we really are, why are we really here, where did we really come from. They have a lot of information. And the Danny Wilton, I'll tell you what, he is really contributing a lot of really great information, out-of-the-box information, and here it is. He also has a YouTube channel. I think it's called Starscream, S-C-R-E-A-M, and I kind of forget how to do it. But if you go onto his page, I'm sure you can find out his YouTube channel. But he actually is working alongside of Santos Bonacci, S-A-N-T-O-S-B-O-N-A-C-C-I. You need to go to YouTube and YouTube this guy. You guys, he is absolutely phenomenal. I've been watching YouTubes for years, okay? And this guy is so off the hook. We're talking off the hook phenomenal. His YouTube channel, Santos Bonacci's YouTube channel, is called Mr. Astro Theology. That's M-R-A-S-T-R-O-T-H-E-O-L-O-G-Y. And the reason why he is phenomenal is he talks about the stars, and he talks about out-of-the-box information about the stuff that the Vatican has not been wanting us to know, you guys. And Danny Wilton and Santos are kind of working, I believe, alongside each other to really crack everything wide open for everybody. And this is what Danny Wilton has been finding. What he has been doing is taking great artists. There's one called Giovanni Battista Galli. He was in 1639. And what he's doing is he's taking a lot of these different well-known art that the artworks that are absolutely beautiful that was done like hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And he's taking the Orion Nebula, guys, the picture of the Orion Nebula, and he is finding exact matches of what's in the Orion Nebula along with these pictures. I'm not even kidding you. He's come out with pictures of just plain pictures of what's in the Orion Nebula. I saw a picture of a dragon's head. I saw a picture of a human arm in there. I'm not even kidding you. And these pictures are so phenomenal. I also saw another picture of a bird and an eye behind the bird. And what does this all mean, you guys? What does it mean when you can find pictures of certain things in this Orion Nebula? What does all this mean? And what it could mean is that the Akashic Records, I believe, is in there. And this is all linked up to our body because what all this is, I believe, is a computer program. But like I said, it was built on love, and it's holographic. We should be able to interact with areas of the whole area of the universe within ourselves. And I believe animals, stories, all kinds of stuff is embedded, I know this is going to sound strange, in the Orion Nebula. And I mean, there was one section of the Santos Bonacci YouTubes where I could not believe it, you guys. He had this huge picture of, I think it was like the Milky Way, but surrounding it was literally, I'm not kidding you, a picture of, from the gases, a picture of a flipping snake eating its own tail. Okay, it was an actual snake, and it was so phenomenal, I started crying, okay, because then I knew that all of this information, all of this stuff has been encoded within the cosmos, you guys. And what really, I believe, if you want to call us humans, have been trying to do is trying to really plug into that outlet, and they've been keeping that from us. Because we should be able to access the Akashic Records there. We should be able to find out anything and everything from these areas of the universe. And I'm not exactly sure how it works. I'm using a lot of my intuition on this, my theories, and also the information from Danny Wilton and Santos Bonacci as well. Okay, so this is humongous, you guys. You definitely need to go and check out. If you guys want, you guys could also go to my Facebook page, Elena Skywing. And so anyway, right now we have a caller, and I'm going to go to the other call. And so hold on, we're going to go straight there. Hi, you're on the air.
Me?
Hey, who is this?
This is Larry. I was just listening.
Great.
I didn't push the one or anything. I was just kind of chilling.
Okay, sounds great. Do you have anything you wanted to talk about, or you just want to listen?
Well, I don't know. I don't exactly agree with what you believe in, but that's my opinion, you know. Although the Orion Nebula is incredible. I like it just from the aspect of one of God's creation. But then there are other ones. Some of the all the galaxies I've seen from the Hubble spacecraft or space telescope photographs are phenomenal. And anybody that doesn't believe in God needs to go look at that. That wasn't just a big bang. Oops. But as far as... it's like, you know, the Carl Sagan thing just didn't ever do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can find pictures in any of the galaxies when you look at them.
There's one that
has a cat's eye nebula,
which is incredible. You know what? This is what's really interesting, and this is what really sparked my curiosity, and that's why I'm kind of directing everybody to go to his Facebook page. Because this guy is literally finding pictures that were done like in the 1600s, and he's laying them underneath so they kind of shine through. And the areas of the Orion Nebula are totally coinciding. Those areas are totally coinciding with those pictures. And
I'd have to see that. But,
oh,
okay.
You have to. I mean, and there's just not one or two pictures. We're talking like massive pictures here. I'm not even kidding you. So I know it sounds really weird, but just go there. And even if you don't believe in it, I'll tell you what, it really sparks your creativity and it really makes you think about stuff.
Many, many, many years ago, I got into the meditations and consciousness and studying about the Vedic writings and Akashic records and Egyptology. I had the Egyptian Book of the Dead, Tibetan Book of the Dead, and oh gosh, I even at one point read through the Necronomicon, and that's not exactly cool. That's outright dark evil witchcraft.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah, you don't want to go there, believe me.
Yeah.
But I've witnessed, but the thing is, I believe in what Sun Tzu wrote in Art of War, know your enemy. And that's why I looked through the Necronomicon, because I, even back then in the 70s, I knew that there was a new world order on the horizon. They had been working on things for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying things. And the enemy I knew was Luciferian. That's why you have the illuminated one's eye on the pyramid on the back of a dollar bill. That's not George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. That is their idea of the eye of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, and I see a lot of things, symbolisms that they've taken out of the Necronomicon. It's almost bad to even say that word, to tell you the truth. Talk about dark energy. But anyway, you know, and then I got saved back in the 80s, late 80s, and it woke me up. Because Christ Jesus came here, and he told us the truth. And he didn't tell no lies. He didn't say, hey, go read a bunch of Gnostic writings that are going to happen in a few hundred years or anything like that. You know, and you really want to go to the source. Well, you can't get any more direct than the guy that, I shouldn't say that, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that through whom all things were made. Okay?
Right.
Think about that.
That's totally.
You know, instead of, and I'm going to use a Chinese analogy here.
Okay.
Now, you point at the moon with your finger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you lose focus on moon. You start focusing on finger.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your focus supposed to be? Do I need to hit you with a enlightenment stick to wake you up?
Mm-hmm.
No, pay attention to finger. Pay attention to moon. Oh, okay, and another analogy. You have pottery, clay.
Uh-huh.
Now, does the clay tell the man how to make it? Or does the man decide how he is going to make that clay? Now, some esoteric person might say, oh, no, I meditate, be one with the clay, and it tells me what to make it, which it's like, look, dude, stop smoking so much dope, and you'll be fine later, okay? But not coming down on anybody that smokes herb, because I used to, gosh knows how much I used to smoke.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we lose sight of the fact that God made everything around us, including us. We didn't evolve from little tadpoles or amoebas or anything else. You know, Jesus, when he came here, told us, hey, this is the way it was from the very beginning, folks. And I mean, how much more plain can you get? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go direct to the source. That's the man. You know, he told us, here it is. This is the way it is. Don't fall prey to the great deceiver, the liar, the great murderer, the author of lies. Lucifer, who Christ Jesus called Satan, which was an English translation adversary. Okay. And that's and the reason why I'm saying this is so many people get caught up in all the physical things. If there were Akashic records, they'd be here on Earth. They're not stuck out in some nebula somewhere, okay? And it's not, you know, a physical thing like some people would like you to believe. But, you know, granted, this is my belief. You know, I just, because I used to do meditation. I still meditate, but in a different way now.
Okay.
But, you know, I did shrooms and all sorts of other little things that I won't go into. But, you know, I went out in the woods and I would listen to the sound of the wilderness and meditate on that.
Cool.
But, you know, it's very peaceful. Until some little coyote comes along and wants to eat what food you brought with you. And he's like, no, man, get away. This is mine. but that's another story. And it's like, oh, man, but I'm hungry. Well, go kill a rabbit and go away. But, yeah, you know. Actually, that happened once. I was, like, off meditating and just chilling. And the next thing I know, I sense I'm not alone anymore. And I look over and there's a coyote sniffing the ground over by my food. By my backpack, and I'm like, hey, man, get lost, dude. What do you think this is? This ain't the Salvation Army. This ain't no free lunch. Hit the road, Mac. And he split. You know, coyotes are scaredy cats. They don't want to mess with you.
Yeah. But,
yeah, you know, it's a good read to read the Bible and go see. I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm not, you know, trying to, like, beat you over the head with the Bible or nothing like that, because Christ Jesus didn't even do that. Forget about Baptists and all these other, you know, Nazi people that want to act like Christians when they ain't. But just go read what he said. Matthew, John, you know. Now, granted, he wasn't so loving with the Pharisees because they're children of the devil. But with his followers and people that he wanted to heal and things like that, he was everything of love. Now, he also taught repentance in no uncertain terms. But to read what he said is real important, because a lot of people don't go and read it. They listen in church and get beat over the head with Lutheranism and Catholicism and baptism and all this other stuff and all the isms. Christ Jesus didn't come here for isms. He didn't come to make a religion. He came here to offer up a precious gift called salvation that we can't do on our own. You don't get to heaven by works. But that's another story. You can't undo what you've done. Okay? You do one wrong thing, and you're just like me. You're a sinner. Not to be, you know. But anyway, yeah, there's some really awesome stuff that he's taught. Everything, actually, that he did was incredible. And
yes,
people miss out on it. You know, it's like, Don't rely on what some guy in a pulpit tells you. Go look for yourself.
Yes, I agree.
Get an old King James Cambridge 83 version of the Bible and read it. Not an NIV, bastardized version, or New American Standard, any of those. Because the New World Order took the original Bible and changed it so that it's a more convenient word. And it's not the true word, but anyway, yeah, King James Bible is poetic. I like the older English style anyway, but I like reading Milton and Shakespeare, so that, you know, gives you an idea where I'm coming from. So.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much tonight.
Anyway, you have a show
to
do.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, and you have, who comes on after you, do you know?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure.
Are you new? Because I don't recall
actually,
hearing you before.
I'm actually taking over for Druana on her show, and I don't know exactly when she's going to be back, but I'm hoping
Druana?
Maybe I might have a
I'm
couple more shows
with,
left.
I'm not familiar with who Druana is. Who is Druana?
She's on this show, which is Illuminating Minds.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't ever have time to really listen, but yeah, you caught me at a time when when I call you at a time when I'm just kind of driving down the road.
Oh, cool.
You know, I drive a truck for a living these days. I got tired of doing the 8 to 5 thing in the office and all that crap and said, I got to get out of here. But anyway.
Sure. Thank you so much for calling.
You bet. God bless. Have fun.
Okay, God bless. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, you guys, it's really interesting to get, you know, different people's points of view. And I would say this is just my perception, you know, but, you know, me, I am totally out of the box when it comes to stuff. And, you know, I just, you know, everybody has the right to feel however they want. I mean, you know, everybody's on their own path. And my path that I'm on is I believe that Jesus really is our own heart, and we are Jesus. Jesus is inside of us. And so to me, if you really follow your own heart, and, you know, there should really be no issues and no problems. And because I work a lot with words, once again, the word heart and the word earth has the exact same letters in them, and they're both actually really work in tandem together. When you are really going with your heart, you are really, you know, putting your love and your energy also into the earth, because that's how I believe the earth really runs, is through the heart energy. Okay. Let's see. I think another thing, too, is that, you know, he touched on a point that if there were Akashic Records, they would be here on Earth. And my perception is they are here on Earth. They're inside of us. And outside is inside. Inside is outside. It's all, I believe, one and the same. Everything appears as though when we look outside that it's outside of us. But everything that we're looking at, I believe, is really all inside, because I believe we are the cosmos. We are the universe. Our whole body is the universe. And everything that appears to be outside of us, as far as the Orion Nebula, Milky Way, I believe all of it is inside of our bodies, okay? And so, really, the Akashic Records is here on Earth. It's inside of us. And I could be wrong on one of my other theories, is it's the center of the Earth, I believe, holds the Akashic Records. So, but anyway, we're going to go delve into some more areas. And I think tonight what I'm going to do is first, because like I said, you guys, I have really a lot of trouble getting in to the actual commercial sections of this show. I don't know if it's my computer or what it is, but every time I go to do the ads, it takes me totally out of the back room, and then it takes me forever to get back onto this page. So I've pretty much decided to just play what's in front of me, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play a really quick thing, and we'll be right back, you guys. I'll be right back in just a few minutes. Bye-bye. Hold on.
We'll be hearing a lot about this next item over the next 11 months, but astronomers have identified a new asteroid about 150 feet across, which is headed our way and may come so close to Earth that it will pass between us and the satellites orbiting in space above us. There's some debate in the scientific community about whether a direct hit is even possible. Most steadfastly say no. This is called 2012 DA14. They say this will be the closest past of an asteroid in the history of tracking such things. And again, while this pass is supposed to miss us, I'll say there's nothing wrong with making sure your affairs are in order. Up next here.
The TV news. Somebody's on.
But mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. And the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hi guys, we're back on the air. Welcome tonight, you guys. And of course, you know, my name is Elena. I'm a shaman and shaman numerologist. And if anybody wants to know also, I'm very much into about living food, food that is alive, that's not heated. And I'm not perfect, you guys. I mean, and I still have weight to lose. But at one point in my life, a few years ago, I was over 300 pounds. I lost 100 pounds. And I'm still at 2-something, but I'm still trying to work on really incorporating a lot more raw into my life. And really trying to also help the earth as well. Very much against Monsanto and what the heck is going on. And that's why I formed a church and religion around living food. And my belief is that spirit is everywhere, inside, you know, and outside, if you want to call it inside, outside. But also, spirit is in food as well. And the more living food that you eat, you're really taking in the electricity of the sun inside your body, which helps to, I believe, activate your chakras, which are vortexes of energy in your body. It also helps to expand your heart, expand your spirit, and also helps your body as well. And anyway, I took about a couple years and really wrestled with myself about what to do. I have never been the type of person that's been into religion simply because of all the stuff that has happened to kids, and war and everything else just left a totally bad taste in my mouth and everything about religion. But because I felt so strongly about what was happening with the food system and that spirit is in living food, spirit is in all food, you guys, but I think way stronger in living food, I decided to form a religion/church to go up against Monsanto, so that they would label all of their GMOs so we could stay away from it, because that is part of our religion. We are totally against GMOs. So if anybody is interested in, you know, helping to form this church and this religion, and helping me to get Monsanto to label their GMOs because it's, you know, in our religion to not eat it. Please, you know, go to my Facebook page, Elaina, E-L-A-I-N-A, Skywing, S-K-Y-E-W-I-N-G, and connect up with me that way. Would love to listen or hear from any of my listeners if anybody's interested in this. I also teach living food as well, smoothies and juices. And, in fact, tomorrow, you guys, is going to be my first time ever making my smoothies and taking it out to people in the community. And I'm going to see, you know, if I can hopefully make some money to try to help us to stay in this situation as far as where we're living right now. So, but anyway, I'm also trying to get money together to also acquire a lawyer to go up against Monsanto, you guys. So, so you guys could also email me at liquidbutterfly at yahoo.com. That's LiquidButterfly at yahoo.com. And my actual my actual church's name is Solarize Living Food Ministries. So you can go to the webpage of www.solarize, S-O-L-A-R-I-S-E, livingfoodministries.org. You can also go to my other page, which is my business is Liquid Butterfly, www.liquid, L-I-Q-U-I-D, butterfly, B-U-T-T-E-R-F-L-Y-E.com. So, and you can also go to livingfoodministries.org as well, you guys. I also have that website, too. So, anybody's interested in helping me go up against Monsanto, I would love some help, you know. Anyway, talking about Monsanto, we've got a few things tonight to talk about. It's now almost 8:30, so I think everybody kind of knows Elaina usually talks about Monsanto a few times during during the hour and a half that I have the show. I'm usually talking about occasionally, off and on. I won't say occasionally, but about, you know, Monsanto and what the heck they're doing. But I think first, before I go into the Monsanto, I'm going to do a story that I got from Natural News, you guys. It's very interesting. And this was done April 17, 2012, by Natural News. It's called Federal Antitrust Complaint Claims Hershey Conspired with the World's Largest Chocolatiers to Fix Prices in the U.S. And I think this is interesting because from what I've heard about Hershey's, you guys, it's one of the worst chocolates to eat as far as them having slave labor and treating their people absolutely terrible. And all the pain of the people that they have, that they're doing this to, making them work in these terrible conditions, really goes into their chocolate, you guys. So when you're eating their chocolate, you're really eating everybody's sorrow. So they're not going to tell you this, but I've done a little bit of research on Hershey's, and, you know, also what they're trying to do is and I forget which brand it is, so I'm not going to tell what new brand it is. But what they try to do is pick these other clever names of chocolate names to go up under so people don't know it's them. So, you know, you've really got to do your research, you guys. And we here at Solarize Living Food Ministries, we're here to really help put forth our passion, our love, and our health into the world. And we're not only looking into doing smoothies and juices, but also putting forth some raw candies, like we might even be doing kale chips and, you know, raw vegan cheese made out of nuts. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to try to do, you guys, to really put forth the energy out onto this earth to help. So here we go. Americans appear to be eating less processed chocolate products than they used to, which has led to a steady decline in the overall growth rate of the chocolate products market. And a new complaint filed in federal court alleges that the Hershey Company, America's largest chocolatier, has been conspiring with several of the world's other largest chocolatiers to fix prices in the United States in response. Associated Wholesale Grocers, AWG, a retailer-owned cooperative representing the grocery industry, says that on three separate occasions, Hershey colluded with Mars, Nestle, and Cadbury to collectively increase chocolate prices all at the same time. These illegal price fixings allegedly occurred in 2002, 2004, 2007. Isn't that interesting, you guys? Isn't that interesting? So it sounds to me like they know that people are understanding about Hershey's. And in the chocolate market, you guys, I'm just letting you know, there's a lot of wonderful alternatives to Hershey's chocolates. And, you know, one of the alternatives is probably something that you know, Solar Rise is going to be coming out with hopefully sometime this year. I can't promise it, but there's a lot of living chocolate out there, you guys, chocolate that has not been cooked, stuff that, like, instead of using white sugar, you're using things like agave syrup and stuff like that. You guys, there is some wonderful, absolutely phenomenal raw chocolates out there that is so much better even tasting than Hershey's. And not only that, it's made with love. And you can totally taste and feel the difference in your body, you guys. Believe me, I used to be an avid chocolate person before I really got into living food. And you know, I still have the regular chocolate on occasion. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I'll tell you what, if I'm ever at a store like Whole Foods or PCC or something and I see a chocolate that's a lot more higher quality, I usually always try to go with that. But you guys, what you put into your body temple is really huge, okay? It's, I believe, really important that we understand that, you know, how something is made, the whole intention behind it really goes into our body, okay? And I'm not saying I'm perfect, you guys, because I'm not, you know, but I, at least I'm headed in the right direction, and I really try. It's like today I did not do good at all, you guys, but usually I try to at least do a smoothie in the morning or kombucha or something living, and I'm trying to really up my percentages of raw right now because I've been so stressed and I really haven't been doing as good as I usually do. But once you have that focus of where you want to go, you guys, where the light is, where the love is, it's in that living food, then and just so you're headed in that direction, I think that's really important. But I think a lot of these big chocolate companies, you know, Hershey's definitely is the biggest, I believe, know that they're starting to have troubles. And so this is what they're doing. Let's see. See, and this is not good at all. I guess now I just found out, you guys, they're putting GM stuff in regular chocolate. This is not good. So this means now I cannot even eat. This is terrible. I'm not even kidding. I'm so ticked off. I'm just starting to read this. I'm so sorry. Hold on. It says, beyond allegations of illegal collusion, it is important to note that each of the companies that is the subject of the new complaint uses genetically modified ingredients in its chocolate candy products. Hershey, for instance, continues to use GM sugar and soy in the U.S. chocolate products, despite having switched to non-GM ingredients for the European market. Oh, my God. And Nestle, the world's largest food and nutrition company, openly admits that it uses GMOs in its American product lines on frequently asked questions, defending the use with fraudulent claims that GMOs actually improve health. Can you believe this, you guys? Can I ask everybody a question? And this is really a huge question. And you have a company having the flippin' audacity to sit there and tell us that GMOs actually improve health. Let me ask you something. If they're so happy and so proud of their flippin' GMOs, then flippin' put it on the front cover of your product. Put in huge letters, GMO. Yeah. Why not? Why aren't they listing it, you guys? And why aren't they proud of it? Yeah, they might. This Nestle might be talking about, yeah, we use GMO. But are you putting it on your product, telling everybody? So when they're picking it up, they see in big letters, GMOs here, or this has GMOs ingredients. No. And the reason why, let me tell you something, you know, if someone is not going to be proud of listing their ingredients on what they're making, that's telling you something, you guys. Either you're proud of what you're doing or you're not. If you're proud of it and you think you're just it's just a wonderful thing, then flip and put it on your product so everybody can see how proud you are of it, okay? But believe me, you're not going to see it on there, you know, because, you know, and they know, legally, they know that they can't lie about it, okay? That's why they're admitting to using the GMOs, because they were asked and they know if they lie, they would probably be liable. So anyway, I find that that's very interesting. And, you know, I'll tell you something, you guys. This Monsanto thing, you know, what I'm trying to do is going to be huge. It's going to be absolutely huge. And a lot of people don't know about it now because a lot of people are really sleeping spiritually. And, you know, a lot of people are busy. And, you know, a lot of it, too, is I haven't really gone out and really talked to people about it. That's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I'm going to be doing a lot of talking to people about what I'm planning to do. And that's another reason, too, why I'm getting out there tomorrow. It's not just a matter of trying to make money so we can stay where we are. It's also being able to put my energy out onto the earth and tell people what I'm doing. Because I think once people see what I'm doing, they'll understand why I'm doing it. And do I actually believe that spirit is in food? Yes, I do. Because why? Because I've felt the effects of it from eating cooked food to raw. And not only that, but I've seen YouTubes and I've seen pictures of Curlian photography, which shows how bright the electricity that emanates out from the living food. And that is what you are putting. That is spirit, you guys. And you are putting that electricity into your body. Okay, and what Monsanto is trying to do is trying to dampen the electricity or take it completely out of the flipping food. And why is the electricity important? Because the electricity, I believe, is encoded with transformation. Okay, and like I said before, because I'm a shamanic numerologist, electricity is a number, the vibration of the number vibration of 129. Which is an exact hit, an exact match to the word butterfly. And we all know what a butterfly means. Butterfly means transformation. And by trying to screw with the electricity in living food, what they're really doing is strangling the butterfly. And I've had it, and I know there are other people out there that feel the same way, and I'm really here for the butterfly effect, you guys, which is spirit. Whatever you feel spirit is, okay, it doesn't really matter to me how people feel, what their path is, that's fine. It's respectful. You know, everybody should respect everybody's path, you guys. I don't care if you're somebody like the last caller we had that believes in, you know, in the Bible, that's fine. If you believe in the Bible, that's fine. I'm not saying I do or don't. I'm just saying I'm trying to keep my mind open, but I think overall, all of us just need to come together, stop our squabbling, see what the overall bigger picture is, that what I'm trying to do is create heaven on earth. And by doing that, it creates heaven in every heart, okay? Because earth and heart are really the same, the exact same vibration. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the GMOs, of what they're doing with the chocolate, which I find very interesting, you guys. And now what we're going to do is, it's now 8:40, I'm going to talk about the case for mandatory GMO labeling, even if you believe in limited government and the free market. Now that the GMO, and this is from Natural News, you guys, okay? Now that the GMO labeling ballot measure has been officially accepted onto the California ballot, Monsanto is gearing up its propaganda campaign that aims to convince people you don't need to know what you're eating. Trust us, we're the food companies. We never lie, do we? For the record, I'm an opponent of most government mandates against individuals. When the government says you have to give your children vaccine shots, that's a violation of your liberty. When Mayor Bloomberg says you can't buy a 16-ounce soda in New York, that's a violation of your liberty too, even though I am opposed to soda consumption in general. When the government says you can't drink raw milk, or you can't treat cancer with medicinal herbs, or you have to get EPA approval before building a house on your own neighborhood lot, those are all examples of government mandates against individuals gone terribly wrong. But this GMO labeling ballot measure is not a government mandate against the people. In fact, it's quite the opposite, a people-powered mandate against the corporation. Excuse me. Forcing corporations to tell the truth. It is the people of California, after all, who developed this GMO labeling ballot measure, gathered the signatures, and put it on the ballot. And the point of it is solely to keep corporations honest about what they put in our food. It is technically merely an extension of existing food ingredient labeling laws, and I can't think of a single person who would argue that food companies shouldn't even be required to list the food ingredients. For the record, I've actually lived in a country where food ingredients were not required to be listed on labels. It was a nightmare trying to avoid MSG because food companies consistently and tirelessly seek to deceive consumers about what they put into foods. Without labeling laws, we would all soon be eating melamine, human fetal cells, and mystery chemicals of dubious origin, even beyond what we're already eating. If the GMO labeling issue were up to the government of California, there would be no ballot measure whatsoever. The biotech industry rules over corrupt government bureaucrats and politicians because it can always buy sufficient influence to kill any legislative initiative. Such is the reasoning behind a people-powered ballot measure. It is the one lawmaking mechanism still available to the people who can bypass corruption and go straight to the voters. Of course, even if passed, the ballot measure is subject to state Supreme Court interpretation, and that's an important measure to make sure the masses of any state don't enact a law that would deprive other people of their constitutional rights and liberties. But GMO labeling is a threat to no one other than the deceptively operated biotech industry itself. GMO labeling is an effort to force corporations to simply tell the truth on food labels so that moms, dads, children, and everybody else can know what they're buying and eating. The proper use of regulatory power. The people forcing their state government to mandate honest food labels is one of the few legitimate applications of government regulatory power. This is true, even if you believe, as I do, that government is too big, too oppressive, too arrogant, and way too expensive. Today in America, we suffer from bloated government that has become a serious threat to the liberties of the people. Yet to take that argument and use it to say that GMO labeling mandates are an encroachment of liberties is a logic error. This mandate is directly solely at corporations with a proven track record of deceiving the people. In no way is GMO labeling encroaching upon individual rights or liberties. If anything, it actually empowers individuals with accurate information about their free market choices of what they're buying. One of the most fundamental concepts of the free market is that both producers and consumers benefit from access to accurate information about what they are buying or selling. This is fundamental to the efficiency of any free market. But biotech companies selling GMOs want the market to be a one-way mirror. They know what's in the food, but you don't. Consumers, therefore, don't know what they're buying, and thus you don't have a free market. You have a contrived market where products are deceptively labeled to make sure that consumers do not have access to accurate information about what they're buying. Think about it. The successful selling of GMOs depends entirely on consumers not knowing they are buying them. Nearly every other product is sold because people actually want it. People buy vitamin C because they want vitamin C. They buy whole wheat bread because they want whole wheat. But they only buy GMOs because they are not aware they are buying GMOs. Genetically engineered food ingredients, in other words, are purchased entirely by accident by nearly everyone who buys them. That's not a free market. That's not transparency. That's deception. It is what destroys consumer confidence in the free market, thereby harming the efficiencies of the market itself. How many corn-based food products, for example, are entirely avoided by informed consumers today merely because they suspect those products might contain GMOs, even if they don't? If GMOs are so good, why don't the food companies want them listed on food labels? See, this is my stance, you guys. The other big question in all this concerns the GMO feature of foods. Genetically modified seeds, you see, are sold to farmers with all sorts of features. These seeds are different. Companies like Monsanto promise farmers they will increase your crop yields and make you more money. But when it comes to food labeling, Monsanto speaks with a forked tongue to the FDA. GMOs are no different, they claim. Therefore, there's no need to list them on food labels. How can GMOs be different and yet be not different at the same time? How can Monsanto apply for patents on GM seeds by claiming they are unique and then claim there's no need to regulate them because they are equivalent to other seeds? It's a bald-faced contradiction, as anyone can readily tell. It's easier to just call it a lie, a convenient lie that sells more food containing genetically modified ingredients. Because, again, the only reason most consumers even purchase foods contain GM ingredients is because they're completely unaware of what they're really buying. So, you guys, you know, this kind of gives you an idea of what the hell Monsanto is doing. And I'll tell you what, you know, this isn't the whole thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it kind of keeps going on, but you get the idea. I mean, you know, and let's not even go into the whole seed thing, what they're trying to do with the seeds. I mean, it's just sickening what the hell they're trying to do, you guys. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that it's on the ballot to label the, you know, the GMOs in California. But I'll tell you what, you guys, these people have massive amounts of money, massive lawyers on their side. Do you honestly think they're just going to let it go if it's passed? They're going to try with all, they're going to have use everything that they have to try to either overturn it or do something, okay? So this is one of the main reasons why I decided to start the first ever Living Food Non-GMO Church. Okay? As a religion, we have a right to eat the food as we choose, and it is totally against our religion to eat GMOs and pesticides as well. So, you know, as you can see, what I'm going to do is really start a huge movement and put it under a religion, because I the way that I feel, you guys, is spirit is everywhere. But I choose to really, you know, eat living food to experience spirit moving through my body, okay? And living food puts more spirit and electricity into your body. It helps you to commune at a higher level with spirit, because you're opening up, you know, your heart, your chakras, and everything is running so much better in your body. Believe me, you guys, I had years of eating cooked food before, and when I went anywhere from 60% to 80% raw, it totally changed and transformed my life. So this is one of the reasons, and it totally sickened me when I just kept hearing about what Monsanto was doing and what they are doing. And because I felt so strongly about spirit being in food and knew that there were others that feel the same way, I decided to form a church. So anyway, that's one of my main goals, you guys, is to really have them label all the GMOs so we can stay away from it. And as a religion, too, we also have the right to have the farmers grow the food the way we want, as far as with the you know, organics and stuff like that. So anyway, you know, if anybody's interested in this, you can feel free to, you know, contact me through my Facebook page, Elaina Skywing, E-L-A-I-N-A, Skywing, S-K-Y-E-W-I-N-G. You can also go and you can email me at Liquid Butterfly, LiquidButterfly at yahoo.com. And really looking to really start a movement in, you know, the living food and the non-GMO area. So anyway, this is going to be a really huge thing, you guys, because this is the first time anything like this has ever been done, okay? And I believe something new and different and out of the box was needed and is needed to move everything up into a higher vibration here on Earth. And I am definitely a rainbow warrior. I'm here to help fight for the protection of the Earth and everybody on it. And I believe once one small thing, domino, falls, okay? And I believe it's all going to be it's all interrelated, and once you touch one domino and that falls, everything else around it will go with it, as far as being able to, you know, get stuff done on a higher level here on Earth. So a lot of people aren't, I don't think, really realizing, because, you know, a lot has been invested in us all thinking that, you know, there's, you know, a partition around, you know, Monsanto, you know, there's a partition around this problem way over here. I believe it's all interrelated, you guys. You take the biggest corporations that's trying to do crap to humanity, and you try to just touch one domino down, I believe the whole thing is all interrelated and it will all go. That's what I personally think. But that, of course, that's just my theory, but I'm willing to try to test it out and see what the heck happens. I mean, I don't really see anybody else doing a whole lot of things. I mean, people are trying to do certain things, but because Monsanto is so huge, there's a lot of stuff that they can do, you guys. But I believe if we put it under a church and / religion, that we'll have a lot more legal stance in the courtroom. Okay? So... okay, we've got only a few more minutes left, you guys. We've got 5 more minutes left, and I just wanted to tell everybody that I've really enjoyed doing this radio show for Joanna. I don't know for sure, positive sure yet, if this is my last time or not. I don't think it is, but I'm not quite sure. She told me she wanted to have 2 months off, and it's been really 2 months, I think, today, and the next Sunday goes into July, so... But anyway, I wanted to really thank everybody for tuning in, and hopefully, I don't know if I'll be on next week or not. I have to actually talk to Cheryl and find out. But thoroughly enjoyed myself having this radio show for at least a couple months, and really wanted to tell everybody about really quickly is, you know, don't be afraid to take center stage in your own life, you guys. Don't be afraid to be the heroine or the hero in your own story. And yeah, it takes a lot more responsibility, but I'll tell you what, once you become activated of why you're really here and you're not afraid to open up your destiny of why you were really born, that responsibility that you have now actually goes in to really bloom your heart and your soul. And what you thought maybe in the beginning was felt like a lot of responsibility. I mean, even though I feel a lot more responsibility, I feel a lot more awakened. I feel way more passionate about life now that I have a strong purpose and a strong path that I'm following. So, you know, I talk a lot to people and to clients about not being afraid to really take center stage, and don't be afraid to really let your light shine, you guys, because the earth needs your light to shine. It really does. And, you know, any type of, you know, sorrow or ache that you have in your heart is, and a feeling of that you have to do certain something, that is really what the earth needs, you guys. So please don't be afraid, you know, to try to take center stage in your own life. And what it's really about is so you can feel proud of yourself at the end of your life, so you can look back on yourself and know that you did everything that you were supposed to do to try to make the earth a better place, not just for yourself and your family, but for everybody, and the animals as well. But anyway, I just wanted to tell everybody that also tomorrow is going to be my first day putting my smoothies and my juices out into the public, and I'm going to be avidly talking to them about Solar Rise and going up against Monsanto. So anyway, if anybody wants to contact me about what I'm doing, you can also call me at area code 206-629-5219. And please feel free to call and leave a message if you want. I would love to have more people interested on my path. And maybe listening to me, you might think this is my path too. I want to help. That would be wonderful. You know, any type of help I can get to put this passion out onto the earth would be phenomenal, you guys. Because it is, it's a lot of work. Anyway, I just wanted to tell everybody that it was a joy to do this show, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be on, you know, next week or not. But if I'm not, I just wanted to tell everybody I really enjoyed myself, and you guys go out and make it a great week. Just remember, the earth needs you, and do not be afraid to follow your passion and what you were here to do, you guys. That's what's really needed to turn everything around on earth. And anyway, so go out and make it a great week, you guys. I love you guys. If you guys want to contact me, have my phone number and my Facebook page. So anyway, love you guys. You guys have a great evening. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the callers. Love you guys. And go out and make it a great night. Bye-bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.